We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome everybody to Redemption Church. Everybody watching, listening online, or podcast, YouTube, wherever you're finding us, we greet you in Jesus' name. You are at Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. Aren't we glad that there's people joining us online? Isn't that cool? We love that. And I love everybody joining us in this room. You guys are awesome. And my name is Chris Fluitt, and we are in a calorie-packed sermon series called Full, not F-O-O-L, F-U-L-L. That's what we're doing. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Y'all going to have a good Thanksgiving this week. If you didn't know, this Thursday is Thanksgiving, and you're going to eat this Thursday. You're going to eat a lot. You're going to eat till you get full, and after you're full, you're probably still going to find your way back around. That's just a thing, right? God also has a table prepared for you. And He also wants you to eat until you are completely full of the good things He's got prepared for you. God intends us to be thankful, merciful, graceful. And that's what we've learned the three previous weeks of this sermon series. All our notes, videos, MP3s can be found at our website, redemptionplano.com. Do a quick search for full. You'll be able to access the entire series at once. But today, at God's table, He has provided joy. God wants you to be joyful. Can you say that? Joyful. Have you ever met a joyful person? Yeah, you have? It's always fun to be around people that are filled with joy. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
I mean, is there anybody that's like, no, I can't stand it being around joyful people? No one? No one. If that is you, you might have a problem, because joy is an attractant.
Yeah. All right.
Joyful people attract people. Joyful people, they use terms like life of the party around those kinds of people, because they're just fun to be around. I don't enjoy being around malcontents, bitter, angry, depressed, sullen people. Do you?
No.
No, not at all. We enjoy joyful people.
Yes.
In fact, we use the word enjoy to describe people and circumstances that bring us into a state of joy. Say enjoy.
Enjoy.
There aren't too many words like enjoy. It ties together language and emotion in one word. Think about somebody you enjoy being around. Does that person bring you joy?
Yes.
Happiness?
Yes.
Do they have an energy?
Yes.
Do they give you an all-over good feeling?
Yes.
Is that it?
Yes.
You enjoy. You E-N joy. But you also are I-N joy when you are around these people.
Yes.
The life of a Christian should be marked with joy.
Yes.
Anybody agree with that?
Yes.
Should be marked with joy. Christians should be among the most joyful people you ever meet.
All right.
Yeah. In fact, the world should enjoy Christianity.
Yes.
How are we doing on that? Not as good as we are. We kind of underperforming in that area.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, I want you to understand that Christians ought to be loved by the world because of their joy, because of their generosity, because of their happiness, because of their peacefulness, because of what walks in the room with them when they walk in the room. The world actually ought to love Christians. Far too often, Christians are wearing anger on their face rather than a joyful smile. They're exhibiting an angry attitude instead of joyful laughter. They are troubled and impatient rather than being happy to help. That describes far too many Christians. Our Savior was full of joy, wasn't He?
Yes.
And I will tell you, Jesus Christ was a joy to be around.
Yes. Right.
People wanted to be around your Jesus. People met your Messiah and they never wanted to leave His side.
Jesus.
Do you understand about Him?
Yes.
People met Him and like in a few minutes of meeting him, wanted to walk with him for the rest of their life. Yeah. And did walk with him for the rest of their life. In fact, so many people were drawn to Jesus. There's even the story of the demoniac. We know about the demoniac, right? Jesus delivers the demoniac. And then the demoniac attempts to go with Jesus. And Jesus says, no, stay here and do God's work. Why did Jesus have to say that? Jesus actually had to compel people, don't follow me. Why is that? Because people wanted to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
They wanted to be in his presence at all times.
Yeah.
There was joy around him and happiness. That doesn't happen if you're sullen and depressed and have a bad outlook on life and never crack a smile. Our Jesus was happy. Our Jesus was full of joy, and people met him, and he actually had to hold them away or they would follow him. That's our Jesus. By the way, do you feel that way about him?
Yes.
Do you feel that way when you're in his presence? Do you long to be in his presence? And are you willing to follow him to the ends of your life?
Yes.
Jesus is joyful, and his followers should be joyful.
Amen.
Are there any joyful Jesus people here tonight?
Yes.
Any joyful people?
Hallelujah.
You online, are you joyful? The marks of a Christian should be joy. The marks of our Savior is joy. The marks of his kingdom, they are also joy. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of three things: righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That righteousness that comes out of the Holy Spirit, that's his kingdom. Peace that comes out of his Spirit, that's his kingdom. And joy that comes out of his Spirit, that's his kingdom. That's his kingdom, but God's Spirit itself is joy. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. It's number two on the list, y'all. Let's read it. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. That's number two, y'all. Number two on the list. It ranks really high that God's kingdom is joyful and his Spirit is joy.
Yeah.
I repeat, the life of a Christian should be marked with
joy.
Christians should be among the most joyful people you'll ever meet. So are you joyful? Are you filled with joy? Does that describe you? How are you doing when it comes to joy? Are you experiencing consistent joy? Is it like an every once in a while joy? Are you so full of joy that it actually comes out of you and other people experience joy because you're just that full of joy? Are you having a joyful year? Let's be honest. Would you say you're having a joyful year? Why not? Would you say that 2020 has been a joyful year? Is anybody willing to go on their Facebook right now and say, hey, 2020 has been a joyful year? Anybody? Sure. All right. We got one. All right. I'll be looking for that post later. Tag me in. 2020, does something stop you from saying that, from agreeing with your pastor on that? Something? What could it be? Well, let's talk about it. I want to tell you, teach you something. Joy that is based on circumstances is fleeting. Has a virus affected your joy? Has an election season hurt your joy? Has a rough economy depleted your joy? Have problems in your relationships deterred your joy? Has loss stolen your joy? Has uncertainty dwarfed your joy? Have the circumstances of life made you less than joyful? You answer that in yourself. Think about that. God has a joy that's not based on circumstance. Do you know this?
Yes.
See, that's news for most people. And most people that say, yes, I know it, still don't live it. But Paul says it. The Apostle Paul. No, the Apostle Paul, he never had problems, right? Never. Not a one. Not a one. Cloud 9 the entire time. No, Paul frequently faced difficult circumstances. Look what he says in Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 10. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Well, there's a sentence right there. We don't have much time to talk about that. But I rejoiced because you finally started caring. Do you see that? It's what he says. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need. Now pay attention to this next phrase. For I have learned to be content. Can anybody give me a synonym for content? Joy. Happy. I have learned what it means to be satisfied, content, happy, energy, good things happening, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. So he's setting up an argument here. Doesn't matter the circumstance. It could be need or it could be overflowing with plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether fed or hungry. See this argument? Whether living in plenty or in want. The last sentence. Now this is, we quote this all the time, but this is the context of this sentence. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. He can do all of what? All circumstances. The plenty or the want. The hungry or there's plenty of food in the fridge. You can rejoice, in other words. You can rejoice. You can be happy. You can be content. You can actually have a smile in every circumstance. You can face every circumstance through what? Not a what, but through a who. Jesus. Through Jesus Christ, who gives you strength. I can do all of this through him who gives me strength. That's Jesus.
Yes.
Stop basing your joy on circumstance. Joy based on circumstance is fleeting. Let's look at this. Joy based on recency is fleeting. Have you ever been really happy to receive something only to later become less than happy? Am I the only one? No, that's everyone, right?
Right?
Here's some examples. You got the job you were praying to receive. You were so excited, you told everybody about it in Connect Group. We're like, remember we were praying? God gave me the job. You took extra good selfies on your Insta.
Yeah.
New job, first day of work, right? You were ready to celebrate at every turn. You were happy. You were joyful about this job. But all too soon, it became just another job. You grew unhappy. You grew unsatisfied. You started to have to talk yourself into getting out of bed in the morning. All the excitement was gone. How about this one? In a few weeks, kids are going to be opening up Christmas presents. There's going to be so much joy in that moment. So much joy that mom runs and grabs her phone to record kids' faces and their celebration dances when they open Baby Yoda. A Nintendo Switch. A PlayStation, whatever number they're on now. Five? But all too soon, what was celebrated will no longer interest the children. Anybody experience that?
Yeah.
Parts that are lost. I can't stand opening up a gift that has all these parts in it. I'm like, shoot me. I am going to step on all of that in the middle of the night, and that's going to hurt. Legos. Thank you. Parts that are lost, all these things that, my goodness, we are still finding parts to toys that have been gone forever. But parts become lost. Toys are broken. They lay forgotten under a pile of stuff. In just a little while, when you are gathering these dead up, when you're gathering up, put them in a bag to haul them off to the trash, chances are very good that you won't even have a moment of recollection that there was ever joy attached to the item. Look at this one. New relationship joy. That glow from simply being together. Oh, ask Sarah about that. That excitement about getting off work. Why were you excited to get off work? So that you could go see each other. Right? That joy had nothing to do with where you were going, what you were doing, but everything to do with simply being together. Yeah. Yet, over time, even though you're faithful to each other, even though you love each other, that excitement and celebration gives way to everyday life. And falling asleep on the couch in 5 minutes in your next Netflix episode seems to be the norm, right? Some people are talking about Netflix and chill, but you're talking about Netflix and just asleep. How about this one? Salvation joy. Yeah. Anybody ever have a salvation joy?
Yes.
When you were first saved by faith in Jesus Christ? And you remember how it led to this unforgettably clean feeling. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Unforgettably clean feeling. That you knew all your sins were gone. Not only did the preacher say you were brand new, you felt brand new. Friend, if you've never experienced that, my goodness, have we got something for you in Jesus Christ today. That brand new salvation joy. You were excited to learn about Jesus. Anytime somebody said something about Jesus, you were excited. You were excited when you saw somebody have Jesus written on their shirt or a name tag, and then later you found out their name was Jesus, but you didn't understand. Reading his word, you were excited. You didn't know a thing, but you were excited about it. You got your Bible. You took notes on things. You saw fresh revelation, and it came straight from God. Seeing prayers answered by God, being on fire for him, ready to tell the next person your testimony. You were like, whoa, I can't wait. It was like a trigger. You were like, trigger happy testimony, Tim. That was it. I'm ready to give my testimony. That person looked at me. I think that was my sign. I'm supposed to tell them how Jesus saved me. Oh my goodness, you remember that? You would share him with anybody who would listen. And you were excited to come to church to worship. You were excited to come hear God's word. You were excited because when you came to church, that's who you really called your family. You expected God to do something.
Yes.
And you had that kind of amazing joy in your life. Over time, it changes a little bit maybe in some. You begin to decide if you are going to go to church. If I'm going to go to small group. If I'm going to pick up my Bible. If I'm going to pray. I might do that if I feel like it. You are satisfied with feeling excitement every once in a while. But there used to be a day you would settle nothing for nothing less than experiencing that excitement all the time. If your joy is based on recency, then you will never be joyful. You will have a what have you done for me lately mentality toward the things of God. You won't be excited unless God has jumped through some hoop for you lately. And I see those kind of Christians. A recency principle, they're excited. God answered a prayer, then they're excited. They can't find them excited any other time. They sang their favorite song at church, then they were excited. These kind of things. Your joy that is based on recency will always give way to dissatisfaction over time. God has joy not based on the principles of recency. He gives an everlasting joy. Isaiah 35 and 10 speaks about God crowning us with everlasting joy. It says, an everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. You know what that's saying? It's saying that they're going to wear a joy that is like a crown. And it's going to be forever. It's going to be everlasting. Our God is the master, isn't He? And He says to His servants, enter into the joy of the Lord. That's Matthew 25, 23. Jesus, our master, He will say to us one day, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. I want you to understand, there is a joy you can enter and you never have to exit.
That's right.
God has a joy that you go inside and you never have to leave. God's joy does not have to be a revolving door. I'm happy, I'm unhappy. I'm satisfied, I'm dissatisfied. I'm joyful, I'm depressed. No, His joy is everlasting. You go in and you never have to come out. That's His joy. I want to remind you, there's a joy based on circumstances, it's fleeting. There's a joy based on recency, it's also fleeting. Last, there's a joy based on the natural, it's also fleeting. Your body can release chemicals that make you feel happy. Every one of you. Every one of you. Don't be like, no, I don't have those. No, everyone has those. Serotonin.
Yeah.
Dopamine. Oxytocin. There it is. Endorphins. Gosh, almost said endomorph. Right. All right. They will give you sensation of emotion, emotional joy and happiness. Did you know this? These chemicals operate in the natural to give you a sense of joy.
Yeah.
But I would tell you they are fleeting and they offer diminishing returns.
Yeah.
Thrill seekers, they experience joy. But they have to seek greater thrills to get a fraction of the joy they had last time. The last time the endorphins told them that they were happy and alive, they have to go jump off a taller building.
Yeah.
They have to pull the cable that opens up the parachute a little later. Thrill seekers. But that endorphin has diminishing returns and it is fleeting. People will seek greater intimacy to get a fraction of the joy they had the last time their brains released oxytocin to tell them they were loved and secure. And there's a segment of society that is just looking for the next relationship so that they can feel happy again. They're looking for the next person so they can have a feeling of joy. But guess what? They wonder why it never works out. They wonder why the feeling goes away. It's the law of diminishing returns. People will abuse drugs. They'll abuse sex. And they will even abuse food to get a fraction of the joy they had the last time their brains released a chemical called dopamine to tell them that they're experiencing excitement and satisfaction. Not only is natural joy fleeting, but it is subject to the laws of diminishing returns. The thing that is making you happy right now can have a shelf life. Come a year, come a month, come a few weeks, it will no longer be enough because natural joy is fleeting. Do you hear me? Natural joy will not last. You can't be joyful with fleeting, diminishing joy. You will keep trying to have to fill a tank that's leaking. Just fill it up only to have it leak out over time. And every time you turn around, it's like, whoa, I felt so good last night. Now I feel like I have regret. Now I feel so bad about that. I just bought this car and I'm already having doubts about it. Now I'm having fears about it. Now, What is that? You're trying to fill up a tank that has a hole in it and it's leaking out. You will never have satisfaction. It doesn't matter the circumstance, the recency, or the natural stimuli. We need to be filled with a supernatural joy. Somebody says supernatural joy.
Supernatural joy.
A joy that goes beyond the natural. There is a supernatural joy that only comes from God's Spirit. You can't fake this joy. Can't fake it. Can't put on a face. Fake it till you make it kind of an idea. No, you can't do it. You can't read enough self-help books and become enlightened enough to attain this joy. You can't go to a sacred place on the earth and go have a pilgrimage and go sit down with some Dalai Lama type person and do that enough to have this kind of joy. And you can't trick your brain with chemicals to achieve this joy. You can't obtain enough money, enough power, or enough success to have this joy. This supernatural joy only comes from the supernatural Spirit of God.
Right.
Book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 52, it says this, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." I want you to read the context of these verses. This joy was definitely not based on circumstances. The Jews in this area were stirring up strife and violence against Paul and Barnabas. They had jail cells in front of them. They had persecution in front of them. They had rejection and pain in front of them. But what did they have inside of them? They had joy and the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the joy and the Holy Spirit. I want you to know that God's supernatural joy, it doesn't matter what's in front of you, it matters what's inside of you. And right during this crazy time in the life of Paul and Barnabas, right in that, they were filled with joy. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. "May the God of hope," someone said hope,
"hope,
fill you with all joy and peace." Say, all joy and peace.
All joy.
"As you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." I wanted to tell you that God's supernatural Spirit gives a supernatural joy,
yes,
peace, and hope. It gives you whatever it is you need. I want you to, we jump over words sometimes. "As you trust in Him." Do you see that right there in the middle of verse 13? "As you trust in Him." Do I want you to understand this? There is a joy that comes from God. And it doesn't just show up after the miracle. It doesn't just show up after the answered prayer. It doesn't just show up after the giant is laying on the ground.
No.
There is a joy that shows up even while you are trusting in Him.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I don't care what you're going through right now. You can have the joy,
yes,
right now by the Spirit.
Jesus.
And it can be right now.
Amen.
Right now. As you trust in Him. As you trust in Him. My goodness, I'm telling you, that goes to every area of your life. Your worship right now, as you trust in Him, can be on cloud nine. It can go higher and higher. The peace, you can have it as you trust in Him. The calling of God that He's got for you, you can have it right now as you are. You know what it means to trust in Him? What it means to trust in Him is that you don't know what else to do. Can we get real? Yeah. Gosh, let me tell you. You don't trust in the Lord if you could just go do it yourself. Am I wrong on this?
No.
There's a reason you trust Him with your soul. Because you can't do anything else with it. There's a reason you trust Him with your illness. Because the pills can only do so much. And the doctor can only do so much. And guess what? The therapist can only do so much for your marriage. And you know that those are short term at the best. But even while you're trusting in Him, not knowing what to do, not knowing where He's going to direct you, not knowing if He's going to shut the door or open the door, not knowing what other people are going to do in your life, you can still have hope by the Holy Spirit. And through that hope, you have joy and peace. Somebody needs to start operating in some joy and peace and hope. And you do it through God's Holy
Spirit.
Oh, you see, there's the answer. There's the answer right there. You're asking for God to do a thing rather than asking for God to come and be. That's what you're doing. You're asking God, could you just go do that for me? Could you just be a deer and go do that, sweetheart? That's so good. That's so good. No. It's not about that. It's asking you. You're never going to have the hope you're looking for. You're never going to have the joy you're looking for, the peace you're having that you're looking for, until you have the Spirit of God. And then you say, that's all I need. You just be right here holding me. You be right here touching me. You be right here directing me. You're my hope and you're my joy. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Stop looking to the natural for only what God's supernatural can't provide. Full joy is found in presence. Not Christmas presents. Not birthday presents. No, presence. Presence as He is there and you're near Him. Presence, not success. Presence, not achievements. Presence, not little like signs, Instagrams, little emojis on texts and social media. No, joy is found in presence. Everybody say it. Joy is found in presence.
Joy is found in presence.
My goodness, this is all over your Bible. Psalm 16, verse 11. You, God, make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy. Somebody help me. In your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Full joy and eternal pleasures are found where? In His presence. 1 Chronicles 16:27. Splendor and majesty are before God, before Him. Strength and joy are in His dwelling place. Wherever His presence dwells, it becomes the place where strength and joy is found. That's why when we're worshiping, it's so important that you enter in. It's so important that you make your body a sanctuary for His presence to dwell. That's what's happening when you worship. He dwells in the midst of your praise. When you are making your body, your place, your presence His dwelling, guess what? That's where joy shows up. That's where strength shows up. Guess what? If joy shows up, strength shows up. Because somebody quote that one. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Nehemiah said it. John chapter 15 verse 11. I have told you this. Who's talking? It's John. Chapter 15. It's Jesus. I have told you this so that my joy, somebody say my joy, may be in you. Somebody say in you. And that your joy, somebody say your joy, may be complete.
All right, amen.
I have told you all of this so that my joy. Jesus had joy.
Yes.
And He wants His joy to be where? In you. And when His joy is in you, then we start talking about your joy. That's when we start talking about my joy. And our joy is made complete. We might even say full.
That's good. Yes. Joy full. Yeah. That's good.
Sometimes Jesus says things just for my sermon series, I think. It's like, yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus wants our joy to be made full and complete by our act of letting His joy be present within us. I'm going to tell you sometimes, there are some times Chris Fluitt can't be joyful about some of the things Chris Fluitt is thinking, Chris Fluitt has done, Chris Fluitt has said. can't be joyful about those things. But even in the midst of Chris Fluitt's silliness, his joy can be found in me. And if I allow his joy to be found in me, then he changes my joy.
Yes.
He completes my joy. He makes it full.
Amen.
Full joy is found in presence. Are you joyful today? When was the last time you were in his presence? Are you only in his presence on Sundays? Does a guy have to sing a new worship song that you know? Do we have to have the lyrics up there in order for you to be in his presence? Could we practice his presence a little better, you think? Could our families and our homes start practicing his presence?
Yes.
In our homes, in our lives? Could your commute to work, could you start practicing his presence? Let Jesus Christ be in the car with you on the way to work. Could you start doing that? I want to tell you, if you start doing that, your joy is going to be made full, and people around you are going to start noticing it. They're going to maybe ask you, what's up with you? Did they put an extra shot in your espresso? And that's when I challenge you to say, no, not the espresso. That's Jesus.
All right.
That's his joy. That's his joy being made complete in my life. You find a way to let other people know about it. You know, it's noticeable when someone's been in his presence. Moses was in his presence. Was it noticeable?
Yes.
His face shone so much it freaked people out.
Right.
They're like, Moses, cover your face. You're freaking us out. The Pharisees, after Jesus had ascended, there's this wonderful story, Acts 3 and 4. It says something so interesting. I love it. The Pharisees looked at John and Peter and they said, I can tell these men have been with Jesus. Well, remember, these people think, those Pharisees claim that Jesus was dead. Oh my gosh. Their actions right there said they know he's alive.
Yeah.
Because they see him in those two fishermen.
Yeah.
These people have obviously been with Jesus. When you are in his presence, the countenance shows. People can tell that you've been in his presence. It is noticeable. Do we bear the marks of people who have been in his presence? In the very presence of the Lord. Is his joy found here? Is his love found here? Is his peace found here? Is his spirit found here? And if it is, it ought to be noticeable. Somebody say amen if it's true. In the presence of the Lord, there is joy. In the presence of God's people, there should be joy.
Yes.
Remember a story? Once while I tell this story, Dad, you already know it.
Uh-oh.
We're at a Golden Corral.
Oh, yeah.
We were raised in a denomination that people dressed a certain way. And we were sitting at our table, chowing down all food. Gosh, remember pre-COVID days where you had buffets?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh, it's good stuff. Getting joyful just thinking about it. But we're here eating and I see this lady come in. She was obviously from a Pentecostal church in the area. I could tell just by the way she was dressed. But my dad, he's slow to see her. And the meal goes on. And my dad finally looks up and he sees that lady and goes, hey, I think that lady's Pentecostal. And I said, oh, really? How can you tell? By the frown? Woo! Dad laughed so hard. It was so good. But I'm telling you, there ought to be a joy that shows up in Christians.
That's right.
And there's something about, there's something wrong if people can tell that you're a Christian because you wear a certain form of dress.
Right.
Or you only listen to certain music. No, they ought to be able to tell you're a Christian because you are just so gosh darn happy. Oh. God's presence and in God's people, in the very presence of his people, there should be joy. Now, it's been a rough year. I get that. I don't put that down at all. It's a rough year. There have been difficulties. There's been disappointments. There's been losses. But yet, there is a full joy available. And it's available right now, tonight. If you're in this room, it's available. You're watching right now. Listening online. Watching. It's available to you also. It's available for you right now. I want to invite you to rejoy. We're about to be coming to this altar. We're about to be spending some time talking to God. But I want to bring this idea to you that you need to rejoy. Somebody say rejoy.
Rejoy.
No, that's not a real word. But there is a word in the Christian in the English language, not the Christian language. There is a word in the English language for experiencing joy and then experiencing it again. And then experiencing it again. You see, there is a word in our language for remembering joy and experiencing it again. You can restore your joy and experience it again. In fact, you can experience it like it's the very first time all over again. Do you know what that English word is? Somebody tell me. Let's see if you couldn't get that. Let's see if you can pick it up here. Psalm 30 and 5. For his anger lasts only a moment. Woo! But his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but, somebody help me, rejoicing comes in the morning. Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Very quickly, Christians, do you understand we're supposed to rejoice with those who rejoice?
Yes.
That means if you have something to rejoice over, even though I might have nothing to rejoice over, guess what? It's party time. I'm rejoicing with you.
That's good.
Joy comes from presence. Being in the presence of someone who rejoices, don't be a party pooper. Get your praise on and start rejoicing with other people. Luke chapter 10, verse 20. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you. But rejoice. Why? That your names are written in heaven. My gosh. You received that the moment you had faith in him. You were brought to him. He writes down your name. But guess what? You can still rejoice in it. You can repeat that joy like it was the first time. January 24th, 1988. The Lord saved me that night. It's my job to rejoy that moment. To rejoice again. Repeat that joy all over again. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Somebody say that first word with me. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. When?
Always.
Repeat that joy. Repeat it over and over again. Some of you have testimonies, but they're living in the past somehow. Rejoy those testimonies. Rejoy them today. Restock them. Remember them. Replenish them. Psalm 51 and 12. My last scripture right here. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. You need to remember that joy. That joy you had when you first got saved. God needs to restore that to you today. Let me ask you just real quick. Do you be honest? Does God need to restore that in you today? Is that a little distant from you? God wants to restore it from you. In a moment, he's going to be singing. And I want God to just restore that in you as you begin to worship him. As you begin to reach out to him and sing his praise. And you come into his presence. His joy is going to restore that in you. You need to remember joy today. You need to rejoice. Joy remembered becomes rejoicing. Church, we need a joy that overflows in rejoicing. You know what joy is? It's not quiet. Joy is not quiet. Joy is a celebration. Joy is not shy. Joy gets past all of its inhibitions and it becomes a declaration that Jesus is King. It becomes a declaration that I have victory. I'm on the winning side, and it's because Jesus Christ has won every victory. Joy is singing. Y'all believe that? Joy is dancing. Joy is laughing and joy is smiling. When was the last time you really had joy? God wants to do that for you right now.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.